Ainsley Earhart has fulfilled her obligation to come and be on this show for at least a half hour. It was on her schedule. She suddenly realized she was here. She couldn't back out of it because I saw her. Is this true, Ainsley?
This is true. I actually tried to leave. Security pulled me back into the office, into the building, and said, Brian's show will not be the same unless you go on. You have a commitment.
Okay, really? Where did this happen, and who was the security person?
At the side entrance of 48th and 6th
Avenue.
That's all.
They don't want to give you their name.
Right.
Let's find out.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's true. Let's see how it goes and see if I'll have you back. The name of your book is I'm So Glad You Were Born, a children's book celebrating who you are. Has a great message. It's the same Ainsley. You're the same one from Fox and Friends, right?
Yes, sir.
And was on The Five last night?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Someone affected by the economy because you live in America. You choose to live in America.
I know, right?
Right.
But yeah. When I was covering the Queen, I remember talking to someone who was, and I was in the UK, and they watch Fox. And they were like, oh, what would we do without Fox? And I said, are you thinking about moving out of America? They're like, we're worried about our democracy. I said, so am I. They go, not you. If you moved, what are we going to do? No, Fox can't. And I said, no, I'm not moving out of America. I love our country. But yeah, we do worry about the state of our democracy. And in one of the recent polls, that was number two on the list. Remember that, Brian?
Right.
Number one was inflation. Number two was the current state of our democracy.
Right, absolutely. So the President of the United States, the thing that's so odd, I think, about what he does is not admit things that we know are true.
Right.
So the thing about the economy, he's saying gas prices are going down. They've gone up for 7 straight days. He says they're under $3. We can't find any place under $3.
Right.
Victor Davis Hanson says on the West Coast, he backed over to $7. He gets diesel fuel. Maybe he drives a truck. So here's what he said, Joe Biden. Cut one.
You've made historic progress. We've made historic progress with the price of gas down $1.30 beginning this summer. In some few states, it's below $3. It's, in the low threes for most places. Although there are some fires and some other problems that have to do with refining capacity in the far west and the middle west. But we're going to deal with that as well.
The average price, $3.75. A month ago was $3.86. And then a week ago was $3.67. So when the price goes up, how soon do we hear about the Putin price hike?
Oh, you're right.
Right?
You're right. He's going to
put again.
Blame Putin. You know, I'm sitting here thinking as I'm listening to that soundbite, thinking about crime, how crime has gotten worse since he's taken office. Look at the border. The border, we're reporting on the numbers of people on the terrorist watch list that are getting through. Close to 80 people this year. Where when Donald Trump was in office, one of the years it was zero. One of the years it was like one. You know, these are the ones that we know of. Think about inflation. We're about to celebrate Thanksgiving. A turkey, maybe $1, $1.15 a pound back in the day when Donald Trump was in office. Now a turkey is going to cost you $5 a pound. So if you're feeding a huge family on Thanksgiving, it's going to cost you more than $100 just to buy your turkey. Parents can't afford that. Families can't afford that, especially when you're also paying higher heating bills and electricity is going up. We're all making choices. Even if you have a lot of money in the bank and you've been a good saver and you're most of the baby boomers. We did a story yesterday on how baby boomers are saving a lot of money and at least one child is being paid for by the parents with these younger kids who are being spoiled by the parents. But even if you're one of these parents, you're still making choices. You can't just spend and spend and spend. Look at the interest rates. Why would you sell your house, Brian? If you bought a house a few years ago,
at 3%?
You got it at 2.6%. I think that was one of the lows under Donald Trump. Why would you sell it and buy another house for more than 6%? You wouldn't. So the housing market is going to be affected.
It's about to be frozen.
Unemployment, absolutely. These are all the things. The Afghanistan withdrawal, don't forget that. When you go to the polls in about 50 days or 45 days, do not forget that. The Afghanistan withdrawal and all of the innocent people that were left over there.
Story in the New York Times today, Politico, excuse me, about the polls. They really feel as though they got to get this one right because the polls were wrong in 2016. They were wrong in 2020 in many cases. And now today, between the Siena poll, between the Monmouth poll, between the Morning Consult poll, and now 538, they're all looking at their science and trying to figure out if they can get it right. The problem is, how do you get in touch with people? And the other thing is the whole Trump supporter thing. They will not tell anyone who they're supporting. Mm-hmm. So Republicans, very rare when they'll admit it, and let alone you're a Trump fan. And now the president comes up and says, ultra MAGA extremist. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, I'm definitely not answering honestly. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder, why do people go out of their way to say this red wave's been stopped? I don't understand why it's been stopped, possibly because of abortion. But that was more June, July mm-hmm. than it is in August, September, don't you think?
I think a lot of people don't want to talk about who they're voting for. And we saw that with President Trump, because if you – I think a lot of people feel like if you are in favor of Donald Trump or even just his policies, then you're – many people are scared to say that to other people. They're scared of retaliation or retribution at work or whatever it is in their neighborhood or in their classrooms. And we had Rachel Compass Duffy go up to the Bronx, to that tent city, and she interviewed all these people. And she said half the people she interviewed didn't want to be on TV because they said, if I am and I'm against these illegal immigrants coming into our community, then everyone's going to think I'm racist.
Why are we? I mean, he acts like he's this some great innovation. We're going to build tents in the Bronx. Good luck with that. Did you see these tents?
Yeah. You were right. It looks like something at war. Like when you go to war, you build a tent.
Honey, I got a cot. And then you get up in the morning and go, can I get out of bed? Sure. And then where am I going to go?
And where do you go? Where do you put all your
belongings? Just wait until it gets cold.
I know. You said, where do they go to the bathroom? Where do they put their belongings? What do they do all day? They don't have jobs. What are they supposed to do all day?
I have no idea. Maybe read your book.
Lie on the... Right.
Is there a Spanish adaptation to this?
I knew you were going to say that. I'm sure there is.
A knockoff. China will probably knock it off in Spanish, and you'll end up spend your whole entire day in litigation. Do you think that'll happen?
How do you say, I'm so glad you were born in Spanish?
Slowly, because I don't understand it. Because, as you know, I took German. Celebrating who you are. So, Ainsley, tell me about this book. First, you've written other children's books before. What made you think this is the right time for this?
Well, so my mom had a stroke about 4 years ago, and my first two children's books were about my dad and his sayings. So I really, you know, as you get older, you feel really guilty about the things that you've done as a teenager. Or, like, my dad... We were scared of him, so we didn't really argue with my dad. With my mom, she was like our go-to. She was the one that just took it all because she was so nice. And, you know, we would just, I don't know, we just kind of gave her a hard time. I didn't understand why, like, she was late picking me up sometimes. I gave her a hard time. When I had a project that was due next week, I wanted her to take me to Walmart the day I got the project and finish the project that night. And she would, just getting home from work, teaching 20-some-odd kids, raising three kids, food on the table when my dad got home. We all ate dinner as a family, and I'm like begging her to take me to Walmart and mad at her if she doesn't. So, I mean, she was exhausted, and I don't know how she did it. And now that I'm a mom and I'm working and I'm a single mom, I realize, like, how did she do this? I mean, I order Uber Eats at night because most of the time, sometimes I cook, but I can't do it every night. I just can't. I don't know how she did it. So this was just something that my mom always said to us growing up. I'm so glad you were born. And I just wanted to say thank you to my mom. After her stroke, you know, our time with her is so precious. She doesn't really have a voice. She can't really talk. And she was a school teacher, and her favorite thing to do was talk. I mean, if you were on the phone with her, Brian, and you asked her about her parents and her childhood, oh my gosh, you would get off the phone. Yeah, you get the whole thing, and it'd be hours later. So she was a talker, and now God has taken away her voice, and she's just struggled so much with dialysis and kidney disease and diabetes and now the stroke. So I wanted my mom's voice heard, and I wanted it to be heard around the world because she loves children so much.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught in a beautiful school, Anna Boy Child Development Center, and we used to go there all the time. I would play in her with all of her toys and everything that she had at school. She just changed so many people's lives. And that's what this book is about. Celebrate your children. They will change lives. We want to have a party for them every single day and let them know we are glad they were born. And if you look at the illustrations, children of all races, children of all sizes, some have different debilitations. And this is what heaven's going to look like. All of God's children, they are all made by him. And so it's celebrating all the children around us, all the people that are contributing to this world, and letting the kids, just reminding the kids that we're glad they were born, and I hope they're glad that they were born.
Now, there's two things, there's no doubt about it. You, between the Bible study and this, you're definitely getting into heaven. I mean, don't you think?
I think anyone can get into heaven according to the Bible.
Right.
Anyone will get into heaven if you believe in your heart and your mind and your soul that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Right.
And if you declare that, you know, we all make mistakes. Why do you think I go to church? I don't go because I go because I want to be a better person and I need to ask for forgiveness because, you know, I have a tendency, I like, we all do. We're all sinners. And so I know you're going to heaven if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you try to live that out.
Can I just correct you on one thing?
Sure.
When you said we're all sinners, could you say present company excluded? I mean, is it possible?
The only person who was on this earth without sin was Jesus, Brian.
And?
No.
No?
Just Jesus.
I'm going to see if I can convince her. Listen,
didn't Donald Trump say, I don't ask for forgiveness because there's nothing I've done to ask forgiveness
And the one
for.
Thing he said, like, do you ever ask, you say you're religious, like, do you ever ask God for help? He goes, no, I got it. You know, he's like, I can figure it all out. Hey, listen, the name of the book is I'm So Glad You Were Born. I have contracted Ainsley for two segments. And in the interim, I'm going to come convince her that I'm playing the perfect game and I deserve to be in the same conversation as
Jesus.
Back in a moment.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Whew, this is one busy semester, and you're crushing it on campus. Sometimes you need a little boost to feel your best, and Ollie's got you covered. From brain support and focus helpers to delicious sleep gummies, find all the feel-good essentials at Ollie.com.
Information you want, truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
So Ainsley Earhart's here. Her book's out today. It's Tuesday. I'm So Glad You Were Born. The illustrations are brilliant and talks about the birth of your daughter and how it really relates to everybody else around the country. Thank Ainsley, you. You're going to the same place I went to.
Yeah.
In Ponte Vedra off A1A. Mm-hmm. Beautiful theater. Sadly, it's the last one Bob Saget performed at. So people in the area, and I don't think it's going to get hit by the hurricane. It looks like that's more the Tampa area. Mm-hmm. I think it'll just be a little bit rainy because I was on with supposed to be on with WOKV this morning. But having said that, what day is it going to be and where do we find out?
So if you go to Ainsley E, since most people don't know how to spell Earhart, we did AinsleyE.com, and you can find out where we're going to be and you can see if there's still space. I know we're going to be in Charleston, South Carolina on Friday and Sunday, Ponte Vedra. There's still some tickets, the last time I checked, for Ponte Vedra. If you want to go, Sean Hannity's going to be on stage with me. He's going to interview me, and you get a signed autographed copy of the book.
And Sean's going to do – how's he going to do his show?
This is Sunday.
Oh,
he
Sunday.
He doesn't have a show. Yeah. So he'll interview me. He'll talk to the audience. We'll both take questions. We did it last weekend in Salt Lake City, and it was so much fun. And we just had a really easy, like, low-key conversation with the crowd, which is always fun because you get to meet the people who not only watch us every day, but, like, we're all a family. Like, we really had, like, a family conversation about politics.
So is it just these 2 weeks, or are there going to be other events coming up?
We haven't gotten that far going forward. We just wanted to, you know, get things on the air, and we've been so busy because I'm on all the Fox shows and talking about this book and then doing the two weekends, and then from there we'll kind of see where we are and regroup.
And what else are you going to be doing on Fox?
I will do. Okay, so you're today, Sean Hannity's show tonight. Tomorrow I'm doing Outnumbered and Jesse Waters show at 4:30. Thursday, Stuart Varney show, and I will be in the studio with you working on the Saturday show.
One Nation?
Yeah, we'll do One Nation on Saturday. Friday, I leave for Charleston right after the show and get to meet the audience down there. And those are my people. You know, my sister lives in Charleston, and I grew up in South Carolina, so that'll be fun. And then flying down to Florida after your show, and then I will be in Ponte Vedra on Sunday.
That's one busy schedule.
It's a busy schedule.
Could you ever do that every day? Could you imagine being a reporter, flying around the country, going from story to story?
We used to do it, didn't we? Remember when we first started in the profession and first started at Fox? That was my life. I mean, I just did overnights, worked for Sean Hannity's show, flying all over the country for him as a correspondent. And then I'd fill in on the weekends on Fox and Friends.
Right.
So it was constantly like that. But I loved it. You know, I was single, didn't have kids. I was just living the life.
Now, did you mind that I was pushing back against you and I was trying to keep you off the air? Did you ever find out about that?
You never did that. You've always been so nice to me and so welcoming.
To your face. But behind the scenes, I was really making your life miserable.
See, this is why you need Jesus.
You need a lot
of forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. Did you decide to amend that or no?
We're not amending that. I'm sorry. Isn't that blasphemy if you try to change the Bible?
Alice, could you look that up? Could you Google that? We could do that. That would be
everyone out there, pray for Brian Kilmeade.
Absolutely. That's all I ask. So we have all the events. We have this coming up.
Yeah.
Have you noticed when it comes to kids, you get a whole new friend group?
Yes.
So you get to meet so many other people because your kids are the same age. Yeah. You go to the same school.
Yeah, you told me to put Hayden into soccer so I can meet all those moms.
Well, that's not the reason why. You said, how am I going to do it? I said, you're going to meet moms. It's going to help you commute. Not to meet moms, but for her, I just
it's not about Hayden, Brian. It's about me meeting moms.
I mean, that's unbelievable that you took it like that.
You know what's funny? I actually love Hayden's school as much as she does, if not more. All the moms get together all the time. Tonight's curriculum night at the school, so I'm going there in between this show. I have another show. I have some podcasts this afternoon, and then I'll go to curriculum night.
What is that?
It's like where you learn the curriculum of the school.
I guess that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, now it's valuable.
They're very honest with us.
But they tell you. They're not looking for input. Is that correct?
She goes to a Christian school.
Right.
Yeah.
If you went to – is going to the public school an option? So people listen around the country. Some of the public schools in New York are pretty rough.
Some are great, but not in my area. I mean, there are certain ones. There's PS, like there's one down in Battery Park that's supposed to be really good. There's one on the west side that's supposed to be good. PS6 on the east side is supposed to be good. But I'm not zoned for those, and so I don't really have a choice.
To me, if we wanted to straighten out our school system, it's real clear. Let's say it's
school choice.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, if PS6 or whatever it is doing things that are not okay with the parents in the area, you take that money, you leave it. They can't afford to lose a lot of students because they lose the financing, the payment increases on their teachers and superintendents. So they will be more apt to listen if we are moving in the right direction. Arizona did it.
Yeah, and, you know, parents are moving all around the country or different areas. Like, I remember when we moved into Columbia, South Carolina, we found the best school district, and that's where my parents wanted to buy a house. But to have school choice would be awesome. You can live close to your grandparents and go to a different district.
I'm so glad you were born, celebrating who you are, available at Ainslie E.
Yep, ainslie.com. Buy it for your kids, your grandkids. Thanks, everyone. Love y'all.
I'll see you at One Nation on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.